Two applications, just to emphasize what David you just said. Tying verse 2 of chapter 8, it was upon the first day of the seventh month. But before that, all that could hear with understanding, they gathered and they heard, and it happened to be on the first day of the seventh month. And that was not coincidence, like David said. So the first comment I'd say is this Ezra, he was led by the Spirit of God, like you said. And he didn't just randomly open anything and share it with the company, with the people. So the leading of the Spirit, which we talked a lot about earlier. The second point is the obedience that comes out here in verse 16. The people went forth. And it may seem like it just so happened that they were gathered on the first day of the seventh month, but that was not coincidence. God ordered it this way. And when we were studying Ruth, we found that they came back at barley harvest. That was not coincidence either. In this case, it's not coincidence. They came and they opened the Word of God at this passage. But they found out what they should be doing, and they did it. Daniel, when he was praying, and he found out by the books that this is the time that they should go back from captivity, he didn't just say, well, it's going to happen, and we're going to go back. He prayed, and he humbled himself, and he confessed the sins of the people. And then the Lord hearkened. After this confession and the weeping that we talked about. Here, they read, they understood, and they acted on it. They didn't say, well, you know, the fathers are going to dwell in booths. The older ones are going to do this. The ones that are more spiritual are going to observe this feast. It's for everybody.
And what's interesting is what's emphasized here is the booths, and Jesse said before, was talking about the pilgrim character, but what's striking to me is that this hadn't been done since Joshua. And from Joshua to this point, there had been godly men, godly women, godly people who were leading the children. There have been periods where the children of Israel were doing right, but this character of a pilgrim, of dwelling in booths, hadn't been observed, really. And so what's being emphasized here, and I think especially for this group in Israel right now, could really appreciate the pilgrim character that they're supposed to have. They're coming out of captivity, and it's just wonderful to me that this has been a failure to dwell in booths that has been going on since Joshua. But what's the Spirit of God is emphasizing, what was emphasized for them, what God wanted them to see, is that this character of pilgrims, where not only are you in a wilderness, not only are you not where you're supposed to be yet, but your provision is being made. And I think this group of people could especially look and say, look at all that God has provided for us in this time. The temple, the walls, the book. It's just such a wonderful thing. God will emphasize what you're most able to take hold of and appreciate. These people, I think, more than from Joshua, were able to appreciate what it meant to dwell in booths, appreciate what it meant to be a pilgrim.
So I think that we have to remember that when we give up the things of the Lord, there's another enemy that will hold us captive. So they were captive. And when you're a captive, you don't have the liberty to do the things that you would like to do or that are required of you. So there might have been a remnant there who remembered the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement. I'm certain that in the heart of some of the people, there was this yearning and this desire for some of the things that they had heard from their parents and grandparents. But there was not the liberty to do it. And one of the things that we have to be mindful of, the scriptures speak about not just being hearers of the word, but to be doers. So what is our response? And when that liberty is taken away from us, and it's usually because of disobedience, we had given a background yesterday as to why they were driven into captivity. It was all disobedience. And some of these themes are revisited over and over and over again in the history of the children of Israel. And if we are honest with ourselves, we'll say, you know, if we do not submit to the Word of God, it's like on a treadmill. We're revisiting that same piece on the treadmill over and over again. There's no moving forward. But what is wonderful here is that, and David, in your outline you had this, what is the strength of those last three words, as written? They heard what Ezra the scribe had read. This is what is found in the book of the law of Moses. And this is what we should be doing, gathering the branches up, preparing so that we might build these booths as a memorial, if you would, a remembrance of being brought out of Egypt, now being liberated again, too, because now there's the liberty to enjoy what God has done. And there was a response from the people. So we ask ourselves when we sit in conferences, what is going to be my response to the Word of God? It's one thing if I don't know. God's not going to really hold me responsible for something I don't know. But the moment I have light and some understanding about what the Word of God says, what's my response? Are we just going to let it slip away, say some nice words? Because what happens is, if you go forward, Israel falls prey to the enemy because they heard, but their response in a collective sense was not what it should have been. So let us be, it's written, and the positive thing is here, the people went forth, they got these items, even to the courts of the house of God, street of the water gate, and as Benjamin said, all the congregation, they came to get, who came out of captivity, they sat under the booths. And I believe that sitting under the booths really means there's an appropriation. There's an understanding, there's an entering into of the preciousness of what these things mean and what God has done for them.
And there was very great gladness. And that's the result, yeah. Right? But there's, in line with this, I wonder if we can't even draw a further lesson applicable for us in a practical sense. When we think of the judgment of God, then the restoration, and when we come back to the path that the Lord has laid out for us, when we deviate and we've gone off here and everywhere else, and then the Lord comes in judgment, then he seeks to restore, but he always brings us back to the place where we left that path. And I just want to think of that in light of when we read, for not since the days of Joshua. Think of the time. The time from this time to all the way back to Joshua. And here, this feast hadn't been remembered. The great joy, the blessing that had been lost, that they hadn't entered into. Why? Because they weren't on the right path. And the Lord would seek to bring us back to that place where we've left the path. And then we can begin again going down the right road. You know, so just like getting lost on the highways. And you've got to go back to where you went wrong, get on the right road again, and then we can make progress in the direction where we're going to go. Right, Tony?
Amen.
So, you know, but that's the principle. But think of all the blessing that is lost and in the many generations. And oh, that the Lord would ever keep us. Amen.